All right, friends. So we're talking today about slavery, and the question is, does the Bible support slavery? Mark, would you say this is one of the things that like atheists will pull when you're talking to them about the faith?
Yeah, but they don't want to hear the answer, right? I was at Lehigh University, and I had lectured on the subject of theodicy, the problem of evil, for an hour, a secular university, and then I did Q&A for an hour. And a gentleman came up to the microphone, and he wanted to bring up this point, but he didn't want to hear the answer. So oftentimes, and that's very common, right? People will bring up an objection, thinking that there is no answer. It's a gotcha moment, and then they go their way.
Yeah.
So he wasn't ready that I was actually looking down, looking at my answer and all my notes for what, if somebody actually brings this up.
And he had left.
And it was like, where'd he go?
Took off. See ya. Have I ever told you guys about my friend Al?
A couple of times.
Al who?
Albino. How about Anna?
Anna who?
Anaconda. Brock?
Brock who?
Brock Lee. Chip Monk. Ella Vader. My favorite. Chris P. Bacon.
chocolate covered crispy bacon.
Oh no, Mark.
There's a guy named Chris Bacon.
Is there?
I bet there must be.
Yeah. Gotta have a middle name P. Yeah. Chris P.
I went to the high school with a guy named Jay Walker.
No, you didn't. Yeah. That's a really good one. Yeah, I was thinking about that again. You guys know one of my biggest pet peeves, and names. I always say this, nobody asks me right names. I mean, think about it. Of anything you can give your child, like, I mean, people do this kind of thing on a whim.
Gerplumpo, that sounds good.
Do you recognize it's subjective, right?
No, it's not. It's definitely not 100% objective.
When I was in college, the librarian's name was Willy Wong. So I'd go and ask him a question. I go, it'd be Willy Wong of you to tell me something that's not right.
You didn't know.
Yeah, Willy Wong all the time.
Oh, poor guy. Yeah, I mean, look, people today are changing everything, right? They're changing their gender. They're changing their race. But for some reason, nobody's willing to change their name when their parents did a wicked, evil thing and gave them a very tormenting name. Like imagine having the last name Comfort.
Can you imagine that? Judas.
Yeah, Judas.
Yes. I just got a pet peeve. Does anyone else would like someone to invent a paper dispenser in restrooms that spits out 6 feet of paper towel instead of 4 inches?
Where do you get 4 inches? Mine's more like 2. I find 2 inches.
I mean, seriously, you go, you think your hands are wet, out comes just not quite enough to dry your hands.
Yeah, and not just that, but then to get another one, it's like a 4 or 5 second delay.
Yeah.
So you're standing there waving your hands.
Yeah, but just spit out 6 feet over here.
Ridiculous.
You know what I was doing here? I was, before I'd leave the bathroom, I would do the motion detector so somebody would have extra.
Oh,
and then we all got a message saying you can't do that.
Do not do that, Mark.
I'm thinking I'm being courteous
okay,
for the next
listen,
person.
That is one of the most unsanitary things in the world. I'm not going to say who it is, but I know someone who owns a restaurant, and I lobbied that they would change that, and finally they did.
Because it would just stay out?
No, because there's some machines where, yeah, they come out, and you pull one, and another one automatically comes out.
Oh, my favorite.
The most unsanitary. Do you know
the
how many
most
people,
unsanitary?
Do you know how many people are washing their hands by that? Their water from the fill
of their
hands
zero.
Splashing
I was the last
on
person.
The paper towel?
I was the last person.
No, Mark.
No.
No, listen.
No, Mark. No,
no,
Mark.
No. I'm saying at these restaurants uh-huh. and places like that,
yeah.
you wash your hands, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then the thing
I'm sorry, what do you do?
Comes yep. out. Someone else comes, they wash their hands. Maybe they don't pull the towel. Maybe they don't, whatever. People come
Wait,
in and
somebody's
out.
Somebody's going to wash. All right, so you're saying somebody here at work is going to wash their hands. They're going to see that paper towel.
No, here at work, it's an aesthetics thing. I don't like the way it looks.
See, that's what it is.
I never like touching public restroom door handles with my hands. Always use my chin.
I can't.
Always.
Okay, but seriously, though, as I was thinking about that, why in the world? I forgot what I was going to say.
Listen, I always leave credit on a microwave.
2 seconds. 3 seconds.
This is for the next person.
Yeah. No. Oh, now I remember. Why in the world? Now this is what I'm starting to see more and more. Is these bathrooms? No more paper towels. It's just the stupid air dryer thing.
I can't stand it.
Seriously.
Like, you're there for like 5 minutes trying to get your hand.
I
know.
Yeah, and I can't reach it with my head.
Ray uses it as a blow dryer.
I thought it was a blow dryer.
What about these doors that have these little things at the bottom of the door and you use your foot
I
to
like
open
that.
It?
Yeah.
Because after I open the door, I feel like I need to wash my hands
This is
again.
Exactly right, because I notice it after I'm grabbing the door.
But
I tried to use one.
I felt like an idiot. I tried to use one the other day and it didn't work for me.
You're using your chicken leg.
What is it you're talking about? Because I missed it.
No, some doors now in public places, they have a thing you put your foot on to open the door instead of using your hand.
Oh,
on the
that's
handle.
Great.
Yeah, but it doesn't. If it's a heavy door, you're sitting there.
Well, just kick it.
Have you ever been one of the restaurants where like the restrooms are like the toilets are their own toilets, but then everyone, men and women, get out and they wash their hands in the same spot? Yes. I don't like that.
No. What are you talking about?
Yeah, yes. There's.
Oh, like, I saw that at an airport recently.
Yeah.
Big Bear has that. There's a restaurant in Big Bear.
There's a few now.
Something doesn't feel right about
it. It's weird to be like, because then women are putting their makeup back on and you're like, I'm just trying to wash my hands. It's just like really awkward.
I know. Anyway, back to names. Okay, these are real. These are actually real names for girls. Monet, Eris, and Amen. Imagine calling your kid Amen.
Forever.
Like Eris.
Yeah.
Or Forever.
Yeah. Shut up, Amen. Okay, these are real boy names. Miso.
Soup.
These are like current real names, not made up. Miso, Emperor, Kale.
Emperor.
Yeah. Zooey, Durfla.
Wait. You're gonna. Can somebody's gonna be watching this.
I was gonna
this
say Durfla could be listening right now and feeling embarrassed.
Durfla. Harm, Almond. Dweezel.
We have a friend named Almond.
No, we don't.
Yeah, it's just pronounced slightly different. It's Frank.
Frank. Nimrod, Facebook, COVID, and Nutella.
Facebook, yes. No chance.
Nutella.
Nobody's called COVID.
I'm serious. This was an official list of names.
Wow.
All right, friends. Time for a cool, classy comment.
Now, wait, real quick. Yeah. Now, do you think Emil is... Is a great name.
Why do you think I go by Easy? See, there are reasons for these things, Mark. All right, friends, time for a cool, classy comment. This is from Daily Grace. Speaking of names, Daily Grace.
That's her name.
It's a real name, and Daily is from the Moore family. Remember the people that sent us all those really cool things?
This is them?
Oh, wow.
This is them, yeah. So Daily says this. Yes, my name Alan. Yes.
Alan. She said that?
Yeah, yes, my name Alan. This podcast I really like.
She's a fan.
Yes.
Isn't she?
That's
big
awesome.
Fan. Okay, in all seriousness, this is pretty much the only podcast I listen to, except for Ethan Spence's. He should keep doing those. And I really do really like Mark. This is a plug for Ethan.
Oh, listen, Ethan's been putting together some videos.
Yeah.
And he's putting together a vault of videos. Man, he is.
This is your boy.
Yeah, he's got a voice that is amazing for narration.
Well, what happened with his podcast, man? It was.
Yeah, I think he's just very excited about this YouTube channel that he's trying to put together. He hasn't launched it yet.
Yeah.
But
by the way, for those that don't know, we are forever indebted to Ethan because our little jingle for the podcast, however it goes, we stole that from Ethan.
We stole it from his podcast.
That's right. He started a podcast. Our good friend Johnny Na actually made that for him, and then we stole it.
Yes.
And then he got to really like it.
Listen, and I'll say, look up Johnny Na's Spotify. That boy can sing.
Yeah.
So spiritual.
And he's a godly man. We just hung out, had dinner together, and great, great young man. Okay. Anyway, back to Daily Grace. That's a good name. Daily Grace's comment. My name is Daily Grace, and I'm a 21-year-old young lady who lives on a farm with my family in Virginia, USA. Y'all have no idea how much of a blessing your Christ-centered, lively, down-to-earth, inclusive, and engaging podcast has been to me and my siblings over the past couple of years. You also have no idea how many scenarios you've come alongside me with. And yes, I do listen to the podcast via earbuds, cleaning our family's Airbnb. Y'all are welcome anytime. Ooh.
Hey-o.
Guys, ready for an Airbnb?
Notice there's no address attached.
Yeah. Try to find it. And a host of other activities. I truly consider y'all to be among my best friends and true brothers in Christ. Aww. Thank you so much, Easy, Oscar, Ray, and Mark, for the time, love, prayer, and devotion you pour into the podcast and the ministry as a whole. Easy, I was at the NOAA conference in Kentucky when you spoke there and have always wished I had met you in person. Someday, Lord willing, it's a dream of mine to visit your ministry someday, somehow. Definitely on my bucket list, as you Californians say. And I certainly have some podcast suggestions to make. Hugs, prayers, and love in Christ, Daily Grace. P.S. I so love and enjoy the inside jokes too, from rotten motor oil to onions to Augustine. Augustine.
No.
To Rat versus Ray, to Alan and Paris, and so many more.
That's awesome.
Man, I can't tell you how much it tickles me that someone appreciates the whole Alan thing, because that
well, we could explain what it was. That was season 4?
Yeah.
Yeah. When we're in Paris.
Yeah.
A guy dressed as a statue, all white.
Yeah. Hi, my name Alan.
He didn't speak English.
This TV show I really like.
We need to make a Living Waters podcast trivia game.
Oh, yeah.
With all
That's
of
a good idea.
Things.
Yeah, but the best thing about Alan, remember, right, when you told him, so have you kept God's commandments or have you broken them?
Yes.
My name is Alan. Oh, man, this is too much fun today. All right, friends, this podcast is brought to you by one of our radically revolutionary resources. So many lions, so few Daniels. Living Without Compromise in a World in Need of Truth. That's a book by Raymond Comfort. Ray, can we call you Raymond?
No.
Por qué no?
No, my aunts call me Raymond. My mother called me Raymond. Nobody else calls me Raymond.
Why do you not like it?
I don't like it. Well, I've got scars. Some teenage girl when I was in high school tattooed my name with a needle on her arm, and she wrote Raymond. I said, my name's Ray. It could have saved a lot. Could have saved a lot of pain.
Where is like a real tattoo?
Yeah, with just wrote with a needle on her arm.
Where is she?
Wow.
I don't know. That's like 200 years ago.
Boy, you dodged a bullet on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, Ray. Good job writing that book.
Oh, can I have a commendation from you?
Yeah, very good book. Can I call you the Lebanese version of Raymond?
No.
Rimon.
It is?
Isn't that smooth? Yeah.
That's all right.
Rimon. Rimon.
Sounds like custard.
You could just say Ray.
Ray. All right, friends. Don't forget the Living Waters mug, the Evidence Study Bible, all at
livingwater.com.
Yeah. All right, friends. Today, we are talking about a topic that is often ignored amongst Christians, but we do not ignore. We take the bull by the horns. Today, we're talking about
bulls?
The what?
Chicago Bulls?
The Bulls by the horns.
I took the bull by the horns and got mocked.
You did, Ray.
You were told not to grab the
horns. No, I wasn't.
Ray.
Okay, how does everybody know that you weren't supposed to grab it but you?
Look, it was natural when a bull moves, you got nothing to grab and there's a couple of handlebars in front of you. You grab them and that's what I did instinctively because I used to ride a bike.
That's in one of the seasons.
We got to pull that clip though and make like a video around it.
Oh. That would be a good reel.
Can you imagine Ray as a matador?
Go stand here. We're all red.
With his New Zealand accent. Torai. 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 All right, friends. So we're talking today about slavery. And the question is, does the Bible support slavery? Mark, would you say this is one of the things that like atheists will pull when you're talking to them about the faith?
Yeah, but they don't want to hear the answer, right? I was at... Yeah. Lehigh University, and I had lectured on the subject of theodicy, the problem of evil, for an hour at secular university, and then I did Q&A for an hour. And a gentleman came up to the microphone, and he wanted to bring up this point, but he didn't want to hear the answer.
Mm.
So oftentimes, and that's very common, right? People will bring up an objection, thinking that there is no answer. It's a gotcha moment, and then they go their way.
Yeah.
So he wasn't ready that I was actually looking down, looking at my answer and all my notes for what, if somebody actually brings this up.
And he had left.
And it was like, where'd he go?
Took off. See ya. Yeah, Oscar, you were an atheist. Was this one that you would throw at Christians when you were trying to devour them like a lion?
Actually, yes. And I think it's a really important question to ask. I think sometimes you get the atheists that are trying to do the gotcha moment. You know, Sam Harris is famous for saying, you know, why didn't Moses include thou shalt not have slaves in the Ten Commandments if it's that important?
Considered the elite of the intellectuals? Because I think he's really dumb.
Yeah.
I was listening to him the other day.
I thought you were going
to
say something else.
No, I say that in all love because he just says anyone with the intellect of Solomon or a little dumber could have written the Bible. And I thought, what a statement of ignorance. Yeah. Hasn't he read the Sermon on the Mount?
Yeah.
Hasn't he studied the life of Jesus through the Gospels or the wisdom of Solomon? Mm. Hasn't he read Psalms and the comfort that's in Psalms? I mean, just there's nothing like this.
That's really good.
Hasn't he read your book, Scientific Facts in the Bible, or the Evidence Study Bible, down at livingwaters.com?
Shameless plugs.
You know, Oscar, when people are thinking about slavery and because the Bible does talk about slavery. It's in there, of course. But
maybe not dumb. That was probably a strong word.
Yeah, Ray. Ray, repent. Go ahead and repent on air. Go ahead and repent on
what
air.
What would you like to have said, Ray?
I'd like to change it to he's not as intelligent as we all think he is. Aww, he's ignorant.
That's so nice of you, Ray. Okay. So, Oscar, But oftentimes when people are thinking of slavery, their minds automatically go to what we're most familiar with. And that's, of course, the Atlantic slave trade that spanned from the 16th and 19th century. So that's what they're, you know, they're thinking 12 years a slave. They're thinking Amistad. Mm-hmm. They're thinking, which was reprehensible beyond description. And the Bible, that's not what the Bible's talking about.
So important. So one, I understand why some people think that the Bible might endorse slavery. You've got Ephesians, Colossians, 1 Peter, and a few other places where it talks about what it looks like to have a slave. Here's the problem. When you ask the question, does the Bible condone slavery? You bring up a good point. The first question we have to ask is, what do you mean by slavery? And so, yeah, our minds, as you pointed out, immediately go to race-based chattel slavery, which is focused primarily on a person's race. It's demeaning, it's diminishing, it's sin, and ultimately you own the soul, if the slavers even believe they had a soul, you own the person as property.
Yeah.
But you have to consider, what does the scriptures mean when it translates the word into slavery? Sometimes they'll translate it into bondservant. And it's a very different, this is a great starting point, because it's very different than what we mean by slavery. In the Old Testament, and even in parts of the New, here's what would happen with bondservants, is that you would be a working man, and you would get yourself in the debt. Let's call it bankruptcy. And you were living in the harsh desert, right? Where there was no there was no public service to keep you alive, which meant you and your family were either going to starve to death in the desert, or you can voluntarily, for a time, choose to put yourself into a bond servitude to somebody to pay off your debt. And so you had the option. You can either starve to death or you can become a bondservant. And this is what's important. Those people had rights. And so here's a few rights. Murray J. Harris, in his book, Slave of Christ, points out some of the rights that they had. Listen how different this sounds than chattel-based slave trade. You could bring lawsuits against your master for mistreatment. Your master owned your time and labor, but not your body. If they damaged even one tooth of your body, you can walk away freely immediately. Your master, Israelite towns were commanded to free runaway slaves. And then every 7 years, slaves were allowed to go free. But more importantly, I'm going to read this quote from Murray J. Harris's book, because it's also important to recognize that there is a cultural distinction as well. So he says it like this: in the first century, slaves were not distinguishable from free persons by race, speech, or clothing. They were sometimes more highly educated than their owners and held responsible professional positions. Some persons sold themselves into slavery for economic and social advantage. They could reasonably hope to be emancipated, be freed after 10 to 20 years of service, or by their 30s at the latest. They were not denied the right for public assembly and were not socially segregated. They could accumulate savings and buy their freedom, and their natural inferiority was not assumed. Now, in no way does Murray J. Harris endorse bond servanthood. It had problems of its own. But the point that you're making, EZ, is where we need to start is we need to start by defining terms. When the Bible says slavery, does it mean the same thing we mean as slavery? And the answer to that question is emphatically no.
That's good, Oscar. Great summation. Mm. You know, Ray, I think a good place to go is to the Word to see what it says in this regard. Yeah, it just came to me.
All things considered.
I thought, hey, let's, you know, maybe go to the Bible. Maybe go to the Bible. Oh, there's a new voice. It's just on the spot.
I actually like that voice.
You're like, hey, in the Bible.
No,
I read a different one.
Okay, so as it relates to what people are thinking in their minds about the whole chattel slavery, Exodus 21:16, he who kidnaps a man and sells him, or if he is found in his hand, shall surely be put to death. And then this is reinforced by the New Testament, 1 Timothy 1:9-10, where it gives that list of who the law is made for, one of your favorites, right? And it says in there, and for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers. Mm. That's the New King James. King James translates that word as men stealers.
It sounds better than kid.
Or in slavery.
It sounds like children having a snooze in the afternoon.
Right.
A kidnapper.
Kidnapper. And then right, Mark, the ESV translates that as enslavers. So Ray, that makes it clear that when the Bible's talking about, you know, the whole bondservant realm, or as some would like to call it, slavery, It's not the American slave trade where, you know, 10 million people were transported from the African regions over to the Americas. But it's talking about a different, which was also socio-economical, as Oscar pointed out.
Yeah, atheists also go to slaves that were taken in warfare, and that was different. There was a cruelty involved in that sense. In the same way that the British took slaves of the Germans during the Second World War, after the Second World War, they inscripted literally hundreds of thousands to come to England and build what they destroyed. They were slaves. Same with the United States. We took slaves during the war. Instead of killing Germans that were taken, that surrendered, they put them to work on the cotton fields.
Right.
That's merciful. Instead of killing, like, Germans would just shoot a whole lot of people they took because it's, who wants to feed them and clothe them, take care of them? Just shoot them all. And so it's merciful to do that rather than kill your enemies, take them as slaves. And that's what happened in the Old Testament. It's history. We don't have to justify it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I want, for a moment here, I think it's appropriate for us to kind of camp out on this. You know, there's been a lot of wokeness, I think, that's obviously...
I woke up this morning.
Yeah, obviously.
Really?
Yeah. Go back to bed, Oscar. Please. but that, you know, has a lot of wokeness in the church that has taken the church in a wrong direction. But I think sometimes
it's called the awakening.
Yeah, the awakening.
The great awakening.
But sometimes we're so reactionary that, like, we'll go to the other extreme and pretend like this wasn't an atrocity in history. And Mark, you know, I think that there has been sometimes in the consciousness of people in generations past this idea that no, it is biblical, and this is a good example of how Scripture is often twisted. And a lot of times, you know, people go back to the whole thing with Cain, right? God put a mark upon him, and you know, they take that and say, oh, well, that was him, because that was the black race. And so that's what happened there.
That's Mormons, isn't it, that say that?
Mormons. You know, I don't know even how they get around that from some of the things they'd written in the past. But that's obviously not the case. Let me read something. I'd love for you to comment on this. But this is by Bodhi Hodge and Paul Taylor from Answers in Genesis. They said, some white Christians have assumed that the so-called curse of Ham, Genesis 9:25, was the... was to cause Ham's descendants to be black and be cursed. While it is likely that African peoples are descended from Ham, Cush, Put, and Mizraim, it is not likely that they are descended from Canaan. The curse was actually declared on Canaan, not Ham. However, there is no evidence from Genesis that the curse has anything to do with skin color. Others have suggested that the mark of Cain in Genesis 4 was that he was turned dark-skinned. Again, there is no evidence of this in Scripture, and in any case, Cain's descendants were possibly wiped out in the flood. So, Mark,
it's appropriate to have Mark.
Yeah, the mark, the mark of Cain. But Mark, I think I'd love you to speak to this. This is a good example of how people who don't dive into the word deeply and just take what they've heard about what the word says, or just read some things at face value, how they can go astray.
Yeah, oftentimes when somebody raises an objection, I'll ask them, have you ever studied what my answer is, what the Christian answer is? Are you interested in knowing what I would have to say about that? I'm curious. I mean, do you want to have a dialogue? Or do you want to have a monologue? Are you looking for somebody just kind of catch the vomit that's being spewed out of your mouth?
Oh, my offense, me bringing that up.
We pause your regularly scheduled programming to bring you this important announcement.
Yes, friends, it's that time again to tell you about the Living Waters giveaway. Someone gave thousands of dollars for us to give you free stuff. So we're going to give away much stuff, and $100 in value, by the way, to 10 different people each week. How do you participate? Go to livingwaters.com/podcast and fill out the form. And then make sure to listen until the end of the podcast, where you'll hear the announcement of those who have won. All right, now back to the program. Thanks for getting that off your chest.
There's a saying, right, that people claim to hunger and thirst for truth, but they seldom like the taste of it when it is served up. Are you interested in listening to what I would have to say about that? Yeah. Because there are answers. And oftentimes when I'll talk to a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness and bring a rebuttal to something that they say, and I'll give a solid answer to where they have no response back, I said, listen, you would do yourself a disservice now to bring that up to somebody else when I just gave you an answer for that. stop trying to have an aha moment for them and to be superior over them when I just gave you the answer for that. You need to now discard that argumentation.
Yeah.
Right? That's just how you have a normal dialogue. Yes, so oftentimes people will regurgitate something that they've read off of RichardDawkins.net or Sam Harris's website or something that they've read and said Skeptic Magazine, but they haven't thought through it.
Yeah, Ray, you know, that's actually a good point. You know, you did a video with Bill Maher sitting down with Mike Tyson. And I love the way you put it. Like Mike Tyson became like a little kitten next to Bill Maher. I mean, it's so silly, but you made some good points. Bill Maher was spewing all kinds of falsehood on that thing.
Mike Tyson should have bit his ear off.
A little flashback. Hey, get over here, you fiffy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pathetic. He just backed down into the corner and went all sweaty and shaky. It was Bill Maher.
But Bill Maher was spewing a bunch of things.
Most of the spew stuff kind of look, this is kink. Vomit and spew. And the other day it was pass out of the eye. Yeah, anyway, Mike Tyson should have stood up to Bill Maher because he was speaking things that just weren't true.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Mike Tyson didn't know they weren't true because Mike Tyson says, I've never read the Bible.
Exactly. I tried to wait.
What did he say? Is he
Indian?
Mike Tyson said, I've never read the Bible. I've never read the Bible. Yeah.
That's the one accent I would have never thought you'd use your Indian accent.
I never read the Bible. I will box you in the ring now.
I love what you said earlier, and it reminds me of another quote, which is
who are you talking about?
You, Mark. And it reminds me of another quote, which is truth is like poetry, and nobody likes poetry. But you know, let me touch real quick because we talked about the mark, and then let me get back to slavery specifically as it pertains to the Old Testament first. There's different ways of interpreting the mark of the beast, but one way for certain
Mark of Cain.
Excuse me. Actually, that's where I'm going though. Okay. Because what you have is again, what you see in Genesis is you see these parallels. Like the whole story in Genesis after the fall is that there's these two families. There's the descendants of the serpent, and then there's the descendants of Eve. And the descendants of Eve, the promise is that a promise seed is going to come through that descendancy and crush the head of the serpent. And so right out of that proto-evangelion, that moment in Genesis 3 when we get the first gospel, proto-evangelion, it's first time the Bible talks about the gospel. In the middle of the curse, he says, someone will come to crush the head of the serpent,
right.
Proto-evangelion. After that, you get Genesis 4, the descendants of Cain. And the mark that they have is violence. Cain kills his brother Abel. And then at the end of chapter 3, you see his descendants. And what does Lamech say to his wives? He brags, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, pay attention to my words. For I killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain is to be avenged 7 times over, then for Lamech, it will be 70 times 7. The mark of Cain is violence and power. And then meanwhile, what we have on the other side is those who are in Christ are marked by the blood of Christ. And what does Christ say? To forgive 70 times 7. So what you see, these markers, is the disposition, the way in which we go about our lives. You've got Cain's way of violence and power, and you've got the way of Christ through forgiveness and grace through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's good, Oscar. And, you know, I think, again, we're going to get back into the slavery issue, but this is obviously related, and it's the race thing, you know. Racism is so disgusting to me, so repulsive to the God who created every man. And the ignorance in that. We all have the same parents. We all go back to Adam and Eve. And then it starts again, of course, we all go back to Noah and his three sons. We're all related. And Taylor and Hodge went on to say, they said, very light skin and very dark skin are actually the extremes of skin color caused by the minimum and maximum of melanin production and are more likely, therefore, to be the genetically selected results of populations moving away from each other after the Tower of Babel incident recorded in Genesis 11. And I love what Ken Ham always says. There's no such thing as black and white. We're all different shades of brown. And we're all related, But Mark, racism is so disgusting, isn't it? And ignorant.
Yeah, and it's interesting during the time, just after the time of COVID with George Floyd, that the only person who can actually be racist would be somebody who is white colored in skin. Mm. And then you say, And there's all sorts of different things, right? When you say inflation, it's because of racism of the white man, right? Mm-hmm. Car pricing going up, it's because of the white man. It's weird, you know, the way this comes out. I read an article recently by Virgil Walker, a really great article. I recommend it to you if you go to g3men.org, you know, which is the website that we, the ministry that we really appreciate from our buddies. Well, Virgil Walker, he wrote an article called Paid in Full, The Shocking Truth Behind Reparations. And I read it and I thought to myself, wow, that is so well written. Yeah. I could write something like that, but it would take me 3 days to write it.
And Virgil is
with
black.
With ChatGPT.
Yeah, Virgil's a black man
He's
as well.
Yeah.
No such thing.
Darker shade of brown. Like, am I allowed to? What am I allowed to say?
Right. Yes. Be careful, Spence.
Yeah, that's funny.
But you know, it was just really great. And he goes through the whole history of reparations and slavery and how everything dealing with this is just wrong, right? We do need to be careful. I mean, there's a proper way to talk and there's an improper way to talk.
Yeah.
You know, if I was telling you a story and say, hey, I was at Dunkin' Donuts and the white guy in front of me ordered a maple bar. Why did I say that? I didn't need to say the white guy in front of me or the black guy in front of me ordered a maple bar.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the story at hand. So we need to think through the logistical side of this. Is it have anything dealing with my story at hand?
The brown guy in front of me.
The Lebanese man across the table from
me. Yeah.
I was wondering why you put the two brown guys on the left, the two whiter guys on the right.
I just found out today that that one of the VPs at the publisher that's publishing my book.
Which book?
As a Lebanese grandfather. Oh, Fight Like a Man, A Bold Biblical Battle Plan for Personal Purity.
The face.
Coming soon. You like the face, Oscar? You can't do the voice without the face, man. Come on. Okay, so.
What would you do if you got stuck like that?
The wind changed.
The wind changed.
Oscar, have you ever seen the book, The Wind Changed?
No.
Oh, I've got it upstairs.
Oh, you got
to
show it.
Murray Smith gave it to
me. It's so good.
It's really good.
All right, so let's get back to the slavery issue. So this is from Exodus 21. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he is to serve you for 6 years. But in the seventh year, he shall go free without paying anything. If he comes alone, he is to go free alone. But if he has a wife, when he comes, she is to go with him. If his master gives him a wife and she bears him sons or daughters, the woman and her children shall belong to her master, and only the man shall go free. But if the servant declares, I love my master, my wife and children do not want to go free, then his master must take him before the judges. He shall take him to the door of the post and pierce his ear with an awl. Then he will be his servant for life. So, I mean, people overlook the aspects that we see here. This is, again, like you talked about, there was a socioeconomical component to that. Mm-hmm. This was a person that was supposed to be set free, right? And then there was the voluntary decision to say, look, you're so, and this speaks to the culture there, right? In terms of the other guidelines within the law of how you treat your servant, right? That there was a culture where they were often treated so well, they would want to remain because they were like a part of the family,
right?
You know, and so Ray, that's so important to remember, isn't it? That
yes, and I want to bring up the book is called When the Wind Changed.
Oh, squirrel. Oh, Ray. But show Oscar that picture.
By Ruth Park. It's got no redeeming features at all. It's got no parabolic lesson to it. It's just a
it's
crazy
just stupidity.
It's just a dumb book.
Yeah. All right. So let me, again, Hodge and Taylor, they say, this is the first type of bankruptcy law I've encountered. With this, a government doesn't step in, but a person who has lost themselves to debt can sell the only thing they have left, their ability to perform labor. This is a loan. In 6 years, the loan is paid off and they are set free. Bondservants who did this made a wage, had their debt covered, had a home to stay in, and on-the-job training, and did it for only 6 years. This almost sounds better than college, which doesn't cover debt and you pay for it. This is not a forced agreement either. The bondservant entered into service on their own accord. In the same respect, a foreigner can also sell themselves into servitude. Although the rules are slightly different, it would still be by their own accord.
I think it's wonderful, easy, because nowadays in our country, you can still get into debtor's prison. I studied it. You can be thrown in jail for getting into debt.
In the U.S.?
Yeah, you don't pay your taxes.
Yep.
Oh, the taxes. But really, like a personal...
Yeah, if you get in trouble, there's laws that can put you in jail.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
There you go. Good.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I want to get back...
Go ahead.
I want to get back to Sam Harris's comment, because I've heard him say it multiple times.
It's not done.
I've heard him say it multiple times, and I've confessed on this podcast that I used to be a Sam Harris fan. Read a handful of his book. I've told you guys I took a girl out on a date to go watch Sam Harris lecture at UCLA at one point, which is like, that poor woman.
Yeah. You mean Sam Harris, the non-dumb guy?
Yes.
Okay. Something like that.
Just to make sure.
So his comment, you know, if slavery seems like a big deal, why wouldn't Moses put it in the Ten Commandments? If I was sitting across the table from Sam Harris, not that I ever would be, I would remind him of Harriet Tubman. Mm. Harriet Tubman was born into slavery. She escaped in 1849. I think she went to Philadelphia at the time. And then after hearing about her nephews and cousins and the torturous treatment that they were experiencing, it's a harrowing story. She goes back and she rescues them. And then she doesn't stop there. By the time she died at age 91, she had rescued hundreds of slaves. And do you know what her nickname was amongst the slave community? Moses.
Oh, really?
Why did they call her Moses? Here's why. Because before Moses wrote the Ten Commandments, before Moses wrote the Ten Commandments, he was the great emancipator.
Right. Mm.
Moses is the one who freed the slaves. So we have to remember that the entire Bible, especially the Old Testament, is written by former slaves. As one person said, the Exodus was the defining moment in Israel's history when God heard their cries and took down a superpower to get them out of slavery. The experience of being rescued from slavery would shape Israel's national identity and laws in ways that are impossible to overstate. You mentioned Exodus 21, which happens right after the Ten Commandments, where he says, whoever steals a man and sells him shall be put to death. Mm-hmm. And then you go on and you just see the way it unfolds throughout redemptive history. The first sign that you might think like, oh, wow, here's God somehow advocating slavery. Abraham sleeps with a slave girl, Hagar. And this is one of God's like main go-to guys. But that act was an act of disbelief. Mm. And what does God do in the middle of that? Hagar's the first person to give God a name. And she is the one he says, he is the God who sees me. And God gives her promises similar to Abraham. This is a woman slave. Mm. God is reaching down to. And then you've got Joseph in Egypt being sold into slavery. It doesn't celebrate that. It says that what man meant for evil, I will work out for you for your good. And then you think about the Philemon, which is a letter written to a slave owner from Paul. You might think, oh, well, here's the smoking gun. Here's where the Bible endorses slavery. But hold on a second. Paul sends a runaway slave back to his master, but he tells him, treat him as affectionately and relationally that you would a brother or a father. Treat him like you treat me, an apostle, someone you respect. Paul's basically laying the foundation for employee-employer relationship in this. Mm. He is telling him when he comes back, treat him with dignity and respect. Moving that line from bondservant to employee-employer type relationship. And so what we see ultimately when we take a deep dive into God's word is we see God slowly moving us away from slave trade into a culture that we live in right now where we take for granted the reality that we know that slavery is wrong. That comes from God's word.
Yeah. Amen. Important to remember that, Ray.
Also, the law is mentioned in the Ten Commandments. I mean, slavery is mentioned in the Ten Commandments because Jesus said the essence of the law is to love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength and love your neighbor as yourself. And then 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 10 says, we know that the law is good if it's used lawfully, knowing this, the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless, the disobedient, the ungodly, and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves of mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be anything, any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Mm. So that brings in rape and all the other things they say are not in the Ten Commandments.
Amen. That's so good. You know, another point too, I think that's important to make as far as racism goes, because people will accuse the Bible of being a racist book, even by virtue of the fact that the Jews were called God's chosen people. But Mark, all throughout the Old Testament, God reiterates time and again about how the Jews were to treat the stranger. In fact, they were told to love the stranger and remember that you were once foreigners in Egypt.
Old right? Testament.
That's Old Testament. Mm.
Yeah, you know, we forget the fact and we gloss over the idea. I mean, the historicity side of it, Oscar is touching upon here. But oftentimes when somebody was in the midst of slavery because of financial ills or whatever it may be, and it was their time to go, they would often stay. They would often just hang out and say, hey, you know what? I have it better here under my master's leadership and allowing him to lead than it would be if I were to kind of go my way. Mm. We kind of forget about that,
yeah.
Right? There's a couple of different words used for slave that we see inside of the Bible, especially the New Testament. We have doulos or doulos, which Easy has often called me over the years.
That's your nickname, right, for me, doulos.
You know, a servant, you know, yeah. One who would kind of follow. But there's also the word huperates, mm-hmm. which is a great word, which was in, have you ever seen the movie Ben-Hur?
Mm-hmm. No, Ray hates twice. Ben-Hur.
I saw it the other day.
No one of a him.
there's an interesting scene, right, where the slaves are down inside the gallows, right, and they're rowing.
Battlesby.
And then you had a guy up at the front who would be kind of beating Ringo Starr would be up at the front and he would be beating the drum, and at his beat that would tell you how fast that they would mm-hmm. row, right? But that word as an under rower is called huperates, mm. right? One who's not seen and one who is serving well.
Yeah.
In fact, they were there, they exist to row and to serve. Mm. You know, we all to some degree are slaves. You're either a slave to sin.
Yeah.
You're a slave to drugs, you're a slave to porn, you're a slave to pride, you're a slave to fill in the blank, anything other than Christ, or you're a slave to Christ.
Amen.
We are willful slaves to Christ because our master knows that which is best. Mm. You know, to serve anyone inside the world is a mark of disgrace to some degree. But as a Christian, to serve Christ, there's not a higher calling than to walk in the steps that he has prepared beforehand. Amen. To serve him willfully and joyfully, knowing that he is at work in us, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And when we get to heaven, giving us a crown, we give it right back to him, because all glory and all honor and all fame belongs to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who it is our great desire and delight to serve as his slave.
Amen.
Well, the whole thing about slavery, Egypt being a type of the world, that Satan's a slave, the ultimate slave driver. If God peradventure will give them repentance, the acknowledging of the truth, they might recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Mm. And Jesus said, he that serves sin is a slave of sin. And it's so true. People think, I can drink as much alcohol as I want, and I become a slave to it. I can take any drug I want. I want the pleasure. Anger, you become a slave to it. Pornography, as Mark said, you become a slave to it. All these things we think offer freedom, offer bondage. It's the subtlety that Satan has.
Yeah. Yeah, and whatever, as Scripture tells us, whatever you become obedient to, you become the slave of that very right. thing. If it's sin, you become a slave of sin, yeah.
I have a question for Sam Harris, who undoubtedly this audio probably sent to him.
I'll text him right now. hey, Sammy boy.
If we are nothing but evolved pond scum, what is wrong with slavery?
Exactly. I was going to bring that up too, Mark.
I can tell you according to the Bible why slavery is wrong.
Yeah.
But why, according to your worldview, if we are just happen chance goo, right, from goo to you by way of the zoo, molecules in motion, what's wrong with slavery?
Absolutely.
You can tell me why you don't like it,
yeah,
but you can't tell me objectively why it's wrong.
And absolutely. Survival of the fittest.
Yeah,
I can
the
tell
fattest.
I can tell you his answer.
Yeah.
Because I've read, I think, all of his books.
Great.
Maybe met the most recent one.
Maybe we do a role play.
Really. No, it's not a role play because it's ridiculous. he would say that where we get our moral cues from is that over time, we discover what's good for the progress of society, and that becomes our morality. Here's the problem with that answer, is that when we emancipated slaves here through the Civil War, it was not good for society. It was economically detrimental for America. It set us back 100 years economically. And so by Sam Harris's standards, he would not have freed the slaves.
Yeah.
He would have said it's not good for us. And even if it's not, what's to think about how low of a standard that is. So all I need to do is create a society in which I can prove that slavery is good for the next person, and therefore slavery is fine.
Yeah. And why is the progress for society the aim, goal for mankind?
Great question.
Right.
Why?
Yeah.
Who says?
Yeah, exactly. And on top of that, you know, talking about what's good for society, what's good for society from the standpoint of an atheist who lives in a, you know, random chance universe, what's good for society is survival of the fittest. Absolutely. And that means you kill anyone who's weaker than you. You use them for your own purposes and gain. So,
and that happens in nature with lions,
right?
Antelope.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Yeah. And they have no ground upon which to say this is wrong. Plus, we've talked about it before. There had to come a point where someone stood up and said slavery is not right.
Yeah, William Wilberforce was a great example of this.
According to the atheistic perspective, that person is wicked.
That's right.
Because if it's society that decides at that very time, that's what it was. So there should be no one standing up.
That's right.
Because it wasn't like progressive. It was instant. They stood up, hey, don't do this.
Yeah, no social reformers should be treated as outcasts. William Wilberforce should not be heralded as a hero.
Yeah.
He should be one who should be deemed as a villain.
He's a wicked man going against what society's determined
that's
is right.
And for that matter, it's also important to recognize that anybody who looks at who would assume, oh, well, doesn't the Bible endorse slavery? I want to say this gently and respectfully. I want you to realize that you are borrowing a moral and ethical standard and then attempting to use it against God. Tom Holland, in his book Dominion, he's not a Christian, he's agnostic, but he's a renowned historian. I've quoted him several times on this podcast, but I think he's important. He goes through history and he recognizes that we are all borrowing our ethics and our morality from Christianity. That if it wasn't for Christianity, your disposition against slavery simply wouldn't exist. That is given to you. You have inherited that by Christian history and Western civilization. And now you're assuming that against God's word, the very word that told you that slavery was wrong.
Wow. That's good, Oscar. Yeah. And look, like you mentioned earlier, Oscar, of course, the Bible could have been more explicit in terms of talking about what we see as far as modern day slavery. We referenced a few things where it talks about kidnapping and that sort of type of chattel slavery. It could have been more explicit, but it's important for us to remember God's intent through the word and that he didn't address every societal issue or maybe political issues. I love what Got Questions says in this regard. It says, the seeds of the emancipation of slaves are in the Bible, which teaches that all men are created by God and made in his image, which condemns those who kidnap and sell a person, and which shows that a slave can truly be a brother in the Lord. That's the Philemon issue. Some criticize the Bible because it did not demand an immediate overthrow of every ingrained centuries-old custom of the day. But as Warren Wiersbe pointed out, the Lord chooses to change people and society gradually through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the proclamation of the truth of the Word of God. And so we have to remember that there's so much more that we could say on this, of course, and go deeper into it. Of course, there were the different forms of slavery. We looked closely at the one that dealt with Hebrew, and between Hebrew and Hebrew, there were the other kinds of the foreign nations and wartime and all that. But I think we've said enough to give the gist of what's ingrained in the word and what the seeds are that are there to give us a clear picture.
Got Questions are great. You know, Got Questions called and did an interview with me, and they had questions.
did you got some, Ray?
I got the answers for them.
Yeah, that's great. Well, man, this has stirred me up personally and just reminded me again. And friends, we hope it reminded you of a couple things. First of all, that it reminded you that you have to plumb the depths of the word. You have to look closely at it and not just go by, oh, so-and-so said this. There's slavery in the Bible. Ah, you know, and scream and run. There are brethren who are of African origin to try to be correct in all this. But no, seriously, black brothers and sisters who obviously are people of the Word of God, who know God's Word, who are leaders within the faith, and they understand all this and they see this. And so you have to go deep into the Word and what it teaches. And then secondly, we hope, as Mark exhorted us, that you recognize your call to be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I mean, that language is used. Paul used it. James used it. Mm-hmm. Bondservant of Jesus Christ. That imagery of being a willful servant of the one who set you free and who gave you everlasting life. We are his. We're no longer our own. We've been bought with a price.
Amen.
And so we don't just want you to just have fun listening to this podcast. We want to challenge you to look into your life and to say, am I a surrendered bondservant of Jesus? Is every area of my life fully given over to him? And when I sin, do I repent and come back and say, Lord, I'm yours. Use me for your glory. That's hugely important. So
Amen.
being cursed, friends. All right, friends, don't forget, so many lions, so few Daniels, Living Without Compromise in a World of Truth, Living Waters mug, the Evidence Study Bible, all at livingwaters.com. And guys, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing and telling people about the podcast. Again, thousands of reviews, 5 stars, millions of downloads, one of the top podcasts in the world. And we're grateful to the Lord for doing that. We really still have no idea what we're doing, but God continues to work. So thank you for joining us, friends. We'll see you here next time on the Living Waters podcast, the one podcast you can't wait to turn off. Click.
I was going to do a click. Good to have a little click at the end.
Yeah.
Could have been a contender.
Well, guess what? You were, and you're more than a contender. You're a winner. Here are the winners for the podcast giveaway. Dalton from Peach Bottom, Pennsylvania. Jacqueline from College Park, Maryland. Christopher from Richardson, Texas. Zariah from King George, Virginia. Alyssa from Mercer, Pennsylvania. Isabel from Coconut Creek, Florida. Sammy from Adrian, Michigan. Joel from Elk, Nevada. Alyssa from Leicester, United Kingdom, if that's how you say it. Worcester sauce, can't even do that. And Joshua from Steinbach, Canada. Good on ya, mate. No, that's Australia. That's all I know for Canada. Congratulations, friends.